Father, as you speak to us this morning, let every heart be submitted to the lordship of your word. Amen. Let's have a seat. Praise the Lord. So before we take a break, I want to share an exhortation with us this morning. And it's already Sunday, so that's why I said this morning. One of the things you need to know as a child of God and as a minister of the gospel, both are the same, but some are children of God yet to respond to the work of the ministry. One of the things you need to know is that your service for the Lord is always under attack. Your spiritual growth is not something you would always have a smooth ride. Always under attack. You'll always have different reactions. Brother Hagin will say, there's always a counter attack to the things that God has done or is doing in your life. You must be prepared. Don't be naive. Say, I'm not naive. Don't be naive. When I was a younger minister, I used to believe that we all wanted to serve the Lord. No, that's stupidity. I used to believe that everybody loved the Lord. Well, everybody should. I used to believe that everybody, you know, they really wanted to serve God. I used to believe that, in fact, there were people that would gather together, would pray. I would just be talking. I said, guys, we have to fast. We have to fast. Remember, I introduced it to some of my friends then. I said, we're going to fast for 40 days. That we wanted to take the town. 40 days. I thought they liked it. But I didn't know that they were having a meeting behind me. And I said, what's wrong with him? Is he the only one God is using? Is he the only one God talks to? I wasn't saying it out of anything more than the love that I had for the gospel. But I was naive. Thinking that every time you talk like that, people are always going to say, this is God speaking. These are people that on a normal day, they will listen to you teach. They will, do this in your presence. But I was naive. So I don't want you to be naive. There are people who you will assume that they really wanted to be sold out to the service of the Lord. And sometimes you will now get disappointed wrongly. Don't be naive. You have to grow up. You have to expect certain things and the way that they come. Don't be naive. Don't be. There are things you should naturally expect because you're serving the Lord. Like I said to us in the last session, when you begin to preach the gospel, teach the doctrine of the word and the doctrine of Christ and contend for it with your eyes for the harvest of souls, Satan will send things after you. It's never going to be a smooth ride. It wasn't a smooth ride from the birth of Jesus till his death. Upon his resurrection, when we thought, it was all over, let us just rejoice. It was one incident before and after the other. How would you think you would be greater than that? So you should never. There's one old song like that from the Yorubas. They used to sing at the CAC. They say, Christian, don't yet be tired. Say you are in the midst of enemies. Don't relax. You can't be relaxed. There's no vacation in this work. You can take vacation to rest. And when you are resting, you are praying. Can you remember that? You are resting. You want to take a vacation. You have the money. You decide to go to a place, an island or a lowland. Just afford something. And you are there. And you are praying. You are resting and praying. Because there is no such holiday in what you are doing. There's no such holiday. There's not. In Mark 4, when Jesus decided to rest and he slept, as he slept, the wind came. When he was sleeping, the wind came. So you must not, don't be naive. Don't think, when we want to do this, this is what's going to happen. Always expect a counter reaction. Always expect it. Last year, you remember at this conference, we gave a prophecy of strong local churches here in this conference. It didn't take long. So people started writing against those things. As I speaking against those things, I was not surprised. Ah, this is excess. This is excessive. We were ready for it. Hallelujah. So never, don't be naive. Don't think that, oh, it will just have a smooth sail. No. Some will do it ignorantly. Some will do it deliberately influenced by the devil. So don't be dragged into those things. And I gave you a warning. I said, don't get into any entanglement with anybody. Don't get into any of these arguments among ministers. Don't do those things. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep it on the ball. Keep it on the ball. So don't be naive. Don't think, but why? Mm-mm. Don't be naive. All of us here, and I say this often to you, there's none of us here that can't yield to the devil. Myself inclusive. There's none of us that cannot yield his thoughts, his mind to the devil. None of us, none of us is immune. So oftentimes you must ask yourself, this is my reaction. Is it selfish? Is it about me? Is it about opportunities that I may not get again in ministry? Is it about fame, popularity, or is it a genuine reaction by the Spirit of God? That's why I'm going to talk about this in the coming days. You must check your heart. You must check your heart. You must check your motives. You must check it. You must ask yourself, why am I reacting this way? Is this by the Spirit of God? No, if it's not by the Spirit of God, you will know it. So don't be naive at all. Don't be naive. Don't be naive that things will smoothly sail. 1992, I suppose, we had this meeting at Star Palace. Star Palace, Bayeku Road. I don't know whether it still exists, but it should. And about 7 of us were gathered. Yes, it was 92. 7 of us were gathered. We decided to form what is called the Royal Family Christian Ministry. I brought the idea. I saw rivers in the desert, and we were all going to pray and all of that. And in fact, we left that meeting, held our hands together, all of us. Yeah, remember the song we sang? God of great courage, source of our strength. And we sang, we said, we see revival all over this place. We see it all over Ikorodu, Lagos, Nigeria, and all of that. It did not take 1 week for Ben to start complaining. And you know, the things will start from small, small things. Like, this brother did not check me. The way he talked to me. Must he be the one doing this? Must that sister? You know, all those things will, after those things that we prayed about and prophesied, we were naive. Because Paul heard from God to go to Asia and he was in jail. How do you reconcile those things? How do you reconcile the birth of the Savior? 2-year-old children down were killed a mass. How do you reconcile those things? How do you reconcile that God came to the earth to save, and the what was consistent many times in his ministry was insult, abuses, trying to kill him? How do you reconcile those things? So you must not be naive. What did I say? I must not be what? Don't be naive. Oh. Do not. When you see Jesus praying the way he prayed, you should know there was fire on the mountain. Don't be naive. Don't be stupid. I like that sermon by Reverend Hagin, Craig Hagin now, the grandson of Brother Hagin. He has a sermon, I like the title, Don't Be Stupid. I like that title, Don't Be Stupid. Because a Christian can be stupid. And sometimes when I see some people and they talk, and I look at them, and they are complaining. Sometimes they are complaining about something that is not related to ministry. They are complaining, grumbling, and I say, are you aware that you are allowing something to govern your mind and taking your focus off what you prayed about? And sometimes they are not aware. They are not aware. So you must not be naive. So this morning I want to share something I want to call, it's like a recap of something I taught in 2010, The Wasted Life. I've retitled it, Is It Not Too Much? You must have heard that many times. Is it not too much? Is this not too much? And people will call you different names at your service for the Lord. People call it extreme. This is extreme. A word they don't have in the Bible. The same people will talk about of his fullness have we all received. Hallelujah. John 1:16. They will even tell you that the word grace is from the word, what's that Greek word again? I'm not remembering Greek word tonight. Ephesians 1:19. Hupabalo. They will be excited at the exceeding greatness of his power. Hupabalo. You say, hupabalo. Two things. Ekbalo, beside, hupa is over. That's where we get hyper grace. That is, the love of God is not ex. Jesus, your love is too much. Too much. Excess love. They sing it. Your love is. They'll be so excited. What are they saying? They say, look at the sacrifice. Your Lord is patient. They'll sing all that. And then they will ask you, why are you excessive? You know, some people don't know that sometimes some wires in their brain is touching. You just sang the love of God is excessive. Then you now blame a believer for being excessive. Don't you know it's Satan that is talking through you? Who determines the limits to know what is excessive? Who? Who determines it? Who is the person who set the barrier for you to know what is excessive? So you will always ask the question, is this not too much? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 tells us about Jesus who for the love No, who for the joy, verse 2, the B part, set before him, endured the cross. You know, when you hear endured the cross, it don't mean that the wood, he endured the wood. No, he told you what he meant. Despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want us to read verse 3 together. Let's go. For consider him, go on, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. That is, when you look at the kind of contradiction that Jesus got, naturally when somebody is giving himself for others, we should celebrate it. So look at the contradiction he got. Look at the shame and abuse that came with it. If you think you will live for God and not be shamed by people, then you are living for something else. If you think you will live for God and people will not seek to insult you, then you are not just starting. You must be ready. I remember one question and answer session I listened to by Dr. Frederick Casey Price. And let me just say this quickly ahead of time. Okay, I'll mention this later. He was talking about ministers. So you know, somebody now asked a question randomly. That so and so about his ministry, that he did something and people began to insult him. And then he said something very, it was passing the way he said it. So I had to rewind the tape. He said, if you think you can get to the kitchen and not feel the heat, then you should not be in the kitchen at all. That when it comes to the ministry from the beginning to the end, you will always feel that heat. So I replied, I said, what did you mean by that? He said that the ministry is all about that contradiction. God is happy, men are not. God is telling you to do things that people are going to look at and say it's nonsense. You must be ready for that at each time, at each point. Sometimes it will turn out fine eventually. I remember somebody in 2016. The guy I'd known him, we knew from afar, I knew him well, but not closely. I just knew him because we happened to have attended the same school. I mean, that school that is the greatest in the world, Government College, Ibadan. Our school is called Built on the Rock. And you know, when you look at it exegetically, I look at the word rock. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Thank you. I will say the church is a school. Amen. See, I'm rightly dividing the word of truth for you. So he just bossed me and he said, I want to make a confession. I said, what's the confession? He said, you know, in 1997, And he said 97, 98, I think the 2 years. He said, I was one of the people that tore your posters. He said, we went to town and we called you names. I didn't even know. He was the one that was confessing to me. He said, I didn't know. He said, we said stuff about you, that you, God didn't call you, you are so and so, you are preaching wrong doctrine, doctrine of devils, you are saying, I said, I did not know. He said, one day he would not travel to England after he was through with university here, I went to Masters in England and started a church. He said, so he was watching another preacher. And so as the preacher was teaching, he was checking scripture, he said, this is the same thing Onoyinka preached years ago, and we called him name. He said, he listened through. He said, I'm telling you something that I experienced 4 years ago. He said, but my conscience did not allow me rest. That's why I'm saying this to you. So, in fact, eventually we met at the airport. He collected that flash drive. I think it's 2015. That flash drive we did there. He took it. And he said, he has started preaching from those things. Now, look, that's a good one, though. I mean, it doesn't always end like that. Don't think at some point they will now say, we thank God for your life. Oh, if you are waiting for that, you will stay long waiting for nothing. But that was a good one. Because he gave his eyes. He said, it was, and this one was even honest. This one has the Spirit of God. You know some people? They will see it's true. They will even be preaching it. Right? And they will say somebody else was the one that said it. But even if you say it is Lucifer that said it, just say it. You don't talk like that. They don't have the Spirit of God, though. They don't have you would think you are in a political rally when they are talking. But he confessed. He said, I'm not just myself. And in fact, another preacher, I didn't know this. Somebody else reached me one day and said, I'm a preacher in America. So and so person came to our church and they began to preach something. And then they said something. The preacher now told them, he said, do you know that this is something one young man preached years ago? And we all condemned him. We all said this and so and so and so and so. I said, but get his book. And you said, which book? Say, understand it, what I'll read it. So he said, but this is the book somebody else came last week that did not even know this man was coming and recommended the same book. So the person reached me inbox. Do you understand? Those are the good sides. They are the bad side. They will say, he has been that devilish since. So don't always expect everybody to clap for you. It doesn't exist like that. You get it? It doesn't exist like that. So you must keep your eyes on the ball. One of the things that changed my perspective and my life, and I said this at this workers convention, was it Congress or cell leaders meeting. My encounter with Reverend Kisokote changed me forever. You know, the first time I spoke with him, we had this study of scripture and he was really excited about how we studied together. I left his presence that day feeling like, aha, I know the word. So I was really bouncing. So the next time I saw him, I gave myself a sense. This man has been in ministry before me. If I come back this time around and come and show my exegesis, I will have so many things I will not learn. So the next time I said, let me be the one now asking you questions. So I asked him questions. I'm telling you, if I had not asked those questions, I would not be here today. I would have just gone there because he said, man, it's been a while I saw anybody study scriptures. I've never seen, and I was really feeling like, you know, I know this thing. I just, but the second time I said, let me ask some questions. It was the questions I asked. In fact, when I finished the meeting, when I was done, I could not take an Okada, my regular Okada. I was walking. I said, you mean if I had not asked this question, my life would have been going in like a balloon. So I was walking. Father day, I walked from Claiborne stop to Jota. I said, walking. I said, you mean if I had not asked this question, I asked this man. And he gave me the kind of answers. And that thing shaped my theology. He did. One of the things he said that day, because I asked him, I said, why, I mean, a few years in ministry, I've been saying, why does this happen? Why does this happen to, why would, you are sincere, you want to serve God? And so he said, in answer, I laugh. I look at this man, why is he laughing? Does he think I'm joking? You know, have you spoken to your pastor like that? Your pastor's laughing, and in your heart, you feel like, That's why I honor you. And he was just laughing. Ah! So I said, what's happening? He said, do you know why you are affected? I said, why? He said, the reason why criticisms affect you is because you like praises. Ah! That thing pained me! But it was the truth! He said, the reason why you were pained was because you like praises. He said, if you have the same attitude to praises, to criticisms, it will affect you this way. Ah! I said, yay, that will end that. You know, truth is not always sweet. Truth is also bitter. Of course, bitter on the tongue of those who like lies. That means I had to adjust my tongue to stop it, to stop liking lies. So you have to, and this is also gives you a lesson. When you are with somebody experienced in ministry, don't do all the talking. In fact, don't do like you know anything. Those are saying, you know, in our ministry, I think it's time I can say this one. Pastor Wale, I want to say something. You should know what I want to say. When I first met Pastor Wale, and I sat him and I said, how are you? He said, sir, I said, you know, this was years ago, not last year. He said, you know, I discovered that our ministry is alike. You know, we have the same message. I'm looking at him. Ah, this guy that just sang now that all the lyrics, I don't know where he found them from. He said, you know, but I was like that too. Just the same way he behaved, I behaved like that too. Just feel like you have to say something to show that you have the grace of God upon your life. You better shut up. Anybody who is going to learn must do less talking and more listening. I know why there's a temptation. Because you are a pastor. You are used to preaching a lot. So even if you have been told your pastor, you are still preaching. You are still explaining. You are still saying something. Rather than keeping quiet. So that you can listen. It's always wise to use your ears more than use your mouth. So that you will not be stupid. Praise the Lord. Are you learning something? That's not even part of my sermon. Anyway, when we are done, we are done. Amen? So you always find those comments. When we see Jesus for the joy, learn to endure contradictions. Learn to endure it. Learn to take it. The way it comes. In John 12 and Mark 14, we see such things. This is from a disciple of Jesus. I'll start from the Mark 14 rendering. A woman from nowhere, I use the word carelessly, came to Jesus, and in verse 3, Mark 14, she broke the box of an ointment or spikenard. And Mark says it is very precious. Also very precious. She broke it on the head of Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 4, there was some indignation within themselves. Why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured. Let me ask you a question. Is it their own? Have you ever wondered why we say those things we say? Is it your own? You know, some people can be, somebody called me one day and he was telling me, hey, there's a particular church that they have too many meetings. That they meet on Tuesday, meet on Wednesday, meet on Thursday, meet on Friday, meet on Saturday. That even when they meet at, listen to the confession for a long time. So I kind of felt, okay, how does it really affect you? Do you understand? Do they meet in your house? No. On your head? No. In your mind? No. Are they the only church that meet on that day? No. So I'm really wondering, okay, how does this affect you? The guy was telling me, he said, how can they give them? Go take waiver. He said, and he spoke very long. He said, they gave him waiver to export. They closed the border. They opened the border. Go take. I said, they opened for somebody else. He said, why are they opening for those people? I said, they opened for another person. So why don't, so when he was done, I said, I like your argument though. I like your argument. Thumbs up. I want to ask a question. Say, what's that? Do you have anything you want to export? He said no. So they should open the border for your criticisms. So you can export it. You don't have one thing to do. I said, go and build your own business. So you, even if it's kuli-kuli, have something you can also export so that you have a genuine claim. Who's following what I'm saying here? What is your own? Is it your spider box? No. Is it your oil? No. Is it your head? Do you understand? And they were unnecessarily angry. Many times, it's because they cannot get the same honor from others. Many times, the person complaining about your excess meetings, he can't get that commitment from his own church. You know, Yoruba, they say, sorry for non-Yoruba people, I'm very sorry. So, let me tell you what it means. When you don't explain envy, it's an attitude. You get it? It's an attitude. Why would you be complaining? Complaining about some people's prayer lives. Is it your prayer life? Hey, this one. Some people bought a car for their pastor. Suddenly, an evil spirit from the bottomless pit came upon you and said, why? Why, what was all this? Do you have a car? What was all this? Why? Somebody was telling me, why would Pastor Adeboye be a helicopter in this day and age? Say, what is this day and age? Say, in this day and age of poverty, is he your president? He's not your president. Is your president, you can say that too. Because you either voted for him, voted against him, but at least you are under him. This one is not your pastor. It is not your money. It is not your helicopter. It is not your heir. Which one is your own there? Which one? As a number, and then you have a problem. A man with that size of congregation, he can't use Okada to go around. And at his age, do you get it? It's a helicopter. Praise God. Hallelujah. Up of Jesus. A man, I can, what do you have to use? Uber? You use Uber to go to where? To 146 nations? How about now? I said one day the man goes for go a fishing. Go a man say, let's go a fishing. Is that really what the text is saying? Fish you've not caught. Crab you did not catch. You understand? Water you don't have. Eh? He's just to sit down and begin to write and talk. Do you get it? So those are petty conversations. He said, is this not too much? Should it not have been given to the poor? Ask the person talking. When last did you even greet the poor? It's not given. Greet the poor. Don't be talking. So, who determines what to give Jesus? How do you know it's too much? How? Who gave the measurement of what we can give to Jesus? Who gives us the measurement of what we can give in the church? There's none. In fact, when they were going to build a temple that God was not going to live in, they put down their gold accessories. If you do that today, and they put it on any social media platform, easy, manipulation. In the book of Acts, people began to sell their lands and houses. It's in your Bible. Who determines who to give what? Or what who gives to who? That is not something you should bother yourself about. So, here, look at the John's rendering. Sorry, before we go there, I want us to look at Jesus' response. Jesus simply said, look at verse 6. I want you to read the A part alone. I'm very loud. Now, I want you to give a translation to it in your language. Amen? Up of Jesus? Okay, let's go. Let her alone. Write your prayer. Translate in your own language. Mind your own. Mind your own. Is it your money? Many of us need to be told these things, oh. Many people, see, I'm a very young Christian, a young minister. I'm even younger than all of you. But I know some things. There are things that some people criticized when we were young. They criticized. Now they are doing the same thing. The same thing. In fact, they are even doing more. More and more. The same thing and more. So he said, let her alone. In other words, shut up. Let her alone. She has wrought a good work on me. Is that the poor you always have? Is she the one that brought the poor? The poor you will always have. And whenever you will, you may do them good. That is, you too, you can do your own to the poor now. Has she stopped you from giving to the poor? Praise the Lord. John 12. Never let people's harsh criticisms get to you. Yeah, just laugh. Because I'm used to it. And some of you, you can be very sensitive. And you start feeling funny. Somebody just wakes up on his bed, writes something against you. Just woke up, didn't pray. I wrote against you, and you are afraid. How does that bother me? Somebody is preaching something. Just woke up one morning and said, I'm going to make life difficult for this person. I'm going to, and then you now decided your life should be difficult. I just look at you and laugh. You get it? You must not let people's criticisms affect your consecration to the Lord and your commitment. You are the one that decided to give. You are the one that decided to pray. You are the one that decided to study Bible the way you are studying it. As a younger Christian, I share this. I used to criticize Brother Tokes of his commitment to Kenneth Hagin. I would say, what is this? This is excessive. At some point, some people began to say they saw a spirit of Hagin following him. Familiar spirit. Now, can't you see? I heard it on the pulpit. It's not that I heard it on Gisto. It was a service. He said, can't you see? He didn't mention his name. He said, there's someone like that. He's always praying like Kenneth Hagin. He's always talking like Kenneth Hagin. He's always doing like Kenneth Hagin. He's always doing like, and he's doing like, he talks like Kenneth Hagin. Is he your Hagin? How does he bother you? He said, we will see. Where is the fruit? I was in the meeting. I wasn't told. And I said, my own has not reached this one. My own has not come to familiar spirit. You know? And we spoke. I said, what is this? I said, Bro Talks, you quote Hagin books when I quote the Bible. And what's this? He didn't even listen. He didn't listen. The same people now. When I see them write on social media. Why I cannot speak against them is because the same was in my life too. So I say, well, the greater sin is with two of us. So I say, we were like, how can somebody be like this? No! Say, you are not even worshipping Jesus again. That's not the problem. The problem is that you are following nobody, and nobody is following you. That is not a problem for you. It hasn't. Is following the man the way he's following? Has he hindered souls from being saved? No. If somebody said that he believes even the gifts of the Spirit are not from the Holy Ghost, that they are from the, he said, from the familiar spirit of Hagin. It was on the pulpit I heard it. I didn't hear it in, no. So when I see them red flowery things, I said, wow. That shows that you must keep your eyes on the ball. You must be focused. People will always talk. And they will always change what they say. So people forgotten what they said. But you remember it. Because you let it get to you. Let nobody speak you down on your sincere devotion to the Lord. See, some people just want you to be like they are. Half-hearted commitment. Half-baked consecration. Something that is not consistent. So they are really wondering, how will somebody be this consistent? So it's important you don't let it get to you. And people can be, they don't know how they yield to the devil. Sometimes you'll see somebody following after a minister, preaching like the person, and then they'll say, in fact, somebody wrote this in one of the Christian magazines. He said Kenneth Hagin and two repeaters. The reason why he said it is because they will always preach Brother Hagin's sermons. I don't know what happened, but I think the men that he spoke about, they let those words affect them. So they started being unique. And much of what they preached after was error. Don't let those things get to you. Don't let it affect you. Don't let somebody begin to, who measures that kind of, who is the measuring gauge that was used? Where did they get it from? And you know some people, whenever they want to criticize a preacher, they don't mind misquoting the Bible. Somebody once said, he said, a true mentor is not somebody that you behave like and talk like. He said, a true mentor makes you different from him. I went to check dictionary. You know, because some of us, you know, we don't know whether we went to school. So I said, discipleship? He was saying it though. Discipleship is not you following anybody. It's you discovering your uniqueness. I said, discipleship. Use another word. But because he wants to speak against somebody, he begins to say kati-kati. Nonsense. May your mouth not say rubbish. You know, you can be saying nonsense. But I'm just saying, even the angels are wondering, what's this man saying now? This man is not okay. So, who is measuring what is much? Is there a measurement as to what we give? No. Is there a measurement as to how many hours we must pray? No. Is there a measurement as to how many souls we must win? No. Is there a measurement as to how many meetings a church must have? No. So why is anyone calling your own extreme? Who measured it? Who measured it? Nobody. What we find in scripture in our Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what that sister Mercy Chinwo sang. Excess love. Extreme grace, extreme love will always bring extreme commitment. Can I have an amen? Is this not too much? They will ask you. In John's Gospel 12. Again, he said in verse 7, let her alone. But I'm particular about what John now said. John says, particularly in verse 4, it was Judas Iscariot. Now, Mark says, many of them did it. But John now let us know who started it. Now, I always say this to you. I've been saying it for years. Look at the person beside you. Look at the person where it can be your husband or wife, self. I didn't prophesy you. Do you know the person's heart? You can't know it. You get the point? You are the only one that knows what's on your heart. So, Judas just started to think about, guys, what do you really think about, you know, what do you think? I know there's something about giving, but that woman, do you think she can afford it? You know, that's how you start that logical conversation. Do you think, even if she can afford it, you know, don't you think, look at the GDP of Jerusalem. If you look at the income index and you look at vis-a-vis the recession that is going on now, do you think this is godly to give this to one man? Now let me ask you a question. Do you think it was about the woman or about Jesus? I believe this is one of the reasons he betrayed Jesus. He felt Jesus was getting too much attention. Because the issue really was not the woman. The issue was, it was too much for Jesus. May the spirit of Judas not rest upon you. I said, may the spirit of Judas not rest upon you. You know, listen. These are prayers you pray for yourself. The epistles warn us not to follow the path of those in the Exodus. He said, let he that thinketh he stand, take heed, let he what? Falls. Whom was he describing then? He was describing the children of Israel to the church. I said, may the spirit of Judas not rest upon you. Where you are just uncomfortable. Some of us are uncomfortable with one church's growing. Uncomfortable with the miraculous to another minister. Uncomfortable with how people preach. Uncomfortable with the commitments of church members have. when you are just uncomfortable, you think, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about Jesus? That means that if he saw Jesus as God, who would have said that? His honor level had dropped. He had seen him as ordinary. Because the issue was not the woman's money. The issue was the person she was spending it on. The issue with many people is not your commitment. Is that that commitment is not in their own church. It's not in their own ministry. It's not to them. The moment people start greeting you on your birthday, and they start saying, not me, oh, my own, that's my portion in life. They start greeting you. He is the gift of God. You start seeing some stupid things. And you see, it's about Jesus. We should be careful not to cross the line from the worship of God. Oh, Gaki, no, bad day. Bad day greeting. Do you understand? Let it go. On my birthday a few years ago, I didn't even read more of the things like that because I really don't read them. I just see something, I just laugh. Do you understand? Somebody called me on the phone, a preacher, known by many people. He said, happy birthday, Pastor, God bless you. I was in Benin that day. I said, God bless you, thank you for your life. However, I just want to say, on my birthday, he said, I just want you to call this your followers, you know. He said, you know, we have to be careful of some things they are saying, you know. I said, what did they say? I said, well, they were saying some things about, I just think we should be careful. Okay, sir, we will be careful. I did not even read what he was saying. It's excessive. What is excessive? Did they call me Jesus? Even if they call me Jesus, I'm not Jesus, and you know. So why is it bothering you? Have I called myself Jesus? Yeah, no. And so what is that? How is that your problem? When we were younger, we can't write it today. So say, how can you be calling? I saw somebody write a series on why you must not do pastor's appreciation. So that's the problem in the body of Christ now. You mean that is what is hindering the gospel now? I mean, you are just uncomfortable. That is it. Judas was not just comfortable at the attention. And look at what John. John was the one that came out and gave us the details. The other one just said, so he must have influenced the rest. Be careful of stupid conversations. Be careful. A preacher called me one day and said, sir, don't you think that the way this there were two people, they are not married then. I think they are married now. Don't you think that the way this woman is praising this guy, they are not married yet now, is this not extreme? I can say, which one of them is your ex-spouse? You get it. Some of those things, should not bother you. It won't bother, you know. If I tell people there's an area that you can lie and it's not a sin, it's the way you describe your spouse. It's not a sin, no? Say, you are this, amen. Up of Jesus. After all, how did you toast her? Did you tell the truth? You kept talking about the future that you don't know. Did you know it? Well, God just said, go on. It's not a sin. Don't quote me. If you quote me, I will misquote you. So this is just, it's just jealousy. You get it? Can you imagine Judas? Sorry for my grammar. Judas is jealousy in Jesus. Jealousy. In those days, we say you didn't just jealous. You are now jejoy. Imperial leader. You are just imperial leader. You are eating lots all over. What is your problem? Is it not excessive? I know a minister years ago that used to say, if you are a student or a career person, you should not pray in tongues more than 2 hours. The person is not preaching about long prayer, I'm just laughing. First of all, confess your sins. The person is just laughing. See, after 2 hours. And he was saying it, and very nice oratory, I was just looking. First, the person writing about long prayer, I say, it's okay, at least it's good that we are changing from glory to glory. So imagine if you allowed the person years ago to discourage your 2-hour prayer. just finish yourself by listening to a bitter person talk. I love something one dear friend here wrote. He said, don't follow an angry preacher or an angry teacher. He said, don't. Don't. Anger is a sin. Did you hear me? Anger is what? It's a sin. Follow an angry preacher. It's not worth it. You'll be enlisted in a stupid conversation. So, Judas must have influenced the rest. Because he was a thief. He must have influenced others to say, don't you think this thing is excessive? Don't you think, is this the right thing? Watch conversations in your church. When conversations have left following pastor's instruction, it's now, what do you really think? Yeah, I don't take nonsense, oh. I don't listen to rubbish, you see. That's what my friends are not, they're not a cloud of witnesses. Because I don't take nonsense. I don't. One time like that, a guy who took me to a church, he came to my house, he said, do you see, what do you think of what the pastor said? I said, I don't get it. This was in 1994. I said, what did he say? He said, if I'm a member of his church, what capacity is this conversation? As the supervisor of the members of the church on behalf of the pastor? Or the pastor on behalf of the members? I said, please, take your cross away from my house. He said, it's not like that. He said, it's more than that. Please leave my house. Ah! Somebody is disciplining his church member. What's my own? If he is done the wrong thing, let the Lord that called him deal with him. You are being very stupid. I don't entertain such conversations. So some of you just say, you think you're having a conversation. Judas made the others get enraged over something he felt. Don't let anyone spread the evil spirit on them in your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, evil spirits don't occur by movies. They are by words and thoughts. Words, they'll just come on you. And you begin to think that way. So one person made 12 people begin to say nonsense. And Jesus said, let her be. So, when is it too much? I ask the question, who determines what is too much? Don't forget, always expect opposition to anything you are going to do. Anything. Always expect it. Anything that you are going to do. Always expect opposition. Always expect people to contradict what you are saying. It's your lot in life as a man and woman of God. I'm not asking you to decide to be controversial and silly and say stupid things so that when people are correcting you by the words, they told me to always expect opposition. That's not what I'm talking about. Take me out of context. In Acts 13, let's see a few more things. Acts 13:36. Paul talked about David. He said he served his own generation by the will of God. Lift your hand towards heaven. Say, I will serve my generation by the will of God. Pray for yourself now. Pray. I will serve my generation by the will of God. By the will of God. Acts 13:36. Pray. We are going to bring this kind of prayer a lot in this conference. I will serve my generation by the will of God. I will not serve my belly. I will not serve my ambition. I will serve my by the will of God. By the will of God. By the will of God. David served his generation by the will of God. I will serve my generation by the will of God. Amen. Have your seat. So what do we have to learn from David? I told you yesterday, whenever you read the word, it becomes what? A prayer point. Can you remember that? Uh-huh. So the word increases what you pray about. In 1 Samuel 17, something happened. And that happened in 1 Samuel 16. Remember that God had said he had rejected Saul. People can be rejected by God, though. Did you hear me? Aha. Paul says that lest after preaching the gospel to others, I become rejected. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Where your service is no longer accepted. Said that lest I be rejected. So, Saul was rejected, and Samuel had an emotional thing with Saul. He felt, well, you shouldn't be the one doing that. Some of us can be very emotional like that. And he was crying. And the Lord said, why are you crying? Which one is your own? Why are you this passionate? He said, I've rejected this guy. He said, go and look for another person. Which means that God chooses substitutes. I tell our leaders oftentimes, I tell them, they are all here. I said, none of us here is indispensable. Don't I tell you often? Huh? And I said, God can replace everyone, including me. I don't think you are, there's nothing exclusive about you. There's nothing. The person who chose you can decide not to use you again. Don't worship a God that you control. Did you hear me? So don't think, Brother Hagin told the story of a guy that, his ministry had grown, as we say, numerically. They had a lot of money. And it was on every television station in the world. So he sat there on TV, live TV. He said, look at what we have done. Look at what we have built now. He said, I kind of ask myself, what will God do without me? A very popular preacher in America. He said it on live television. But he said, look at that. That I knew an evil spirit had taken control of the guy. Because he knew him. A few years after, disaster had happened to the man, was off TV, off everywhere. But the Hagin said, and God has been fine. God has been doing great. You will do your own and go. God will use whomever he will use. Praise the Lord. There's nobody that will minister to the body of Christ. That body, you think you minister to the body of Christ? How many of the body of Christ do you know? Just do your own and go. Amen? Do your own and go. Praise the Lord. We serve a God who is beyond your knowledge. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? The man said, what will God do without me? And God has been fine since. He's not dead, he's alive. But you don't know him again. May his pride not enter your heart. And you say, what would this church do without me? May that never come out of your mouth or your heart. What would this ministry do without me? I tell them often, he says, community church. As soon as you stop doing something, you see somebody, as though the person has been warming up like Messi. Like Ronaldo. Sorry, Ronaldo fought before Messi. Sorry for that. Like Ronaldo, we were hailing one player at one point. This is the greatest player. He was the greatest player for Barcelona. Somehow I think he got into indiscipline. We thought the way he would play. If at one time he played against Real Madrid, I don't want to mention the name. Real Madrid fans got up and began to clap for him. But he has been away. Somebody else has been playing. It will take you a while to explain who he is to people now. He told me something when I was young. And it's only God that there's none like him. You have duplicates. In case you want to prove it, God will show you. God will prove it to you. You were for where? You think you know so much that without you there cannot be a revival. Without you, you will discover that you will be the fourth beneficiary of the revival others do, other people will do. So don't let it cross your mind that in your church, even if you are the pastor, and there's none like you. You okay? Where? Let's see. And nothing pains people more than knowing that when they leave a church, God did not leave. That thing people can almost commit suicide. I don't know why. This is that when you left, God did not leave. God did not leave. Stop overrating your opinion. So people think their opinion is so important. That when they talk, God will say, tell me something. See, this person, that person. God will say, gist me. You mean I made a mistake? I think so. You didn't check the person's CV well. So what do we do now? I'm telling God. God says, you just become garbage. That's all. Hallelujah. May pride not enter your heart.
Pray for yourself. Now. Pray. That spirit of indispensability. It's not like me. If I don't do the technical, nobody will do it. If I don't lead the prayer, nobody will do it. If I don't lead the song, nobody will do it. If I don't arrange the seats, nobody will do it. If I don't lead that church, nobody will do it. Let that evil spirit find no place around you. Rebuke it around you. That thought that makes you feel you are the only one. You are the only one that can do the media. You are the only one that can do TV. You are the only one that can move the power of God. You are the only one that can do Holy Ghost meeting. May you never be replaced. Pray for yourself. Pray. I told you in this time you must not keep quiet. Pray. Evil spirits. Without the disaster such a, what will God do? May you never enter your heart. Pray. If I don't give, it won't happen. I'm the one that is supporting the church. If I don't give that money, they won't do that. God will rest us all. 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 Pray. Look up. We are still praying. What happened to Israel? Same thing. Because God chose them. Easy. He got to the point they now rejected that God when he came physically. Right. Paul now warned the Gentiles. He said, you see, if this can happen to those, through that Messiah came to me, don't let the same attitude come up in you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Pray for yourself now. Lord, I'm not exclusive. I'm only available. I'm not exclusive. I'm only available. Pray. I'm not the only one that can give a sound. I'm not the only one that can play the trumpet. I'm not the only one that can play the keyboard. I'm not the only one. Lord, I'm only available. Pray. I will serve God. I will not serve my appetite. Pray. Everything you do in your church, see it as an honor. See it as an honor. See it as a privilege. It's a privilege I'm preaching. It's a privilege. Lord, it's a privilege. Pray. The spirit of exclusivity. If I don't do it, who will do it? Hallelujah. One more, we are still praying. What did Samuel say to Saul? He said, when the Lord chose you, were you not small in your eyes? When you were called to pastor, it looked like a big thing. You trusted God. Now the church is growing. Now your fame is increasing. You are now thinking everything is under control. May you never think everything is under your control. Begin to pray now. Begin to pray. I want you to lift your voice now. Pray. Nothing is under your control. It is by the Spirit of God. Oh, if I don't give the money, they cannot do it. If I'm not there, it cannot happen. Tell you. Who are you? Pray. If you don't teach the word, others will teach it. If you don't move God's power, others will move it. If you don't win souls, others will get up and preach. May the blindness of Israel not happen to you. The pride not happen to you. I'm not hearing you. May that pride of Israel not happen to you. Hallelujah. Sit down. So Saul, Samuel said, were you not small in your eyes? You know what he now did? Before you write, listen. Forget whether this is right or wrong. Just listen very well. Samuel told him that when he gets to Ziklag, you kill everything that is there. He came back and he said he preserved some. He said, why did you do this? You know what he said? He said, it is to worship God. Many of us disobey God and under the covert of worshiping God. You cannot claim to serve God that you are disobeying. No matter how right what you are trying to do is. You know what Samuel said? He said to obey is better than retreat. To obey is better than a TV ministry. To obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, To obey is better than fasting. To hearken more than the blood of bulls and goats.
May I not serve God on my own terms?
May I not serve God on my own terms?
See that? He said to obey. Don't say, but after all, what I'm doing is in scripture. That's not the point. Don't say, after all, are we not reaching the world? That is not the point. After all, is it not ministry? Some people have started churches out of rebellion. They've split churches wide. They have divided other ministries. They have started their churches stealing people's members. You know what they say? They say, after all, are we not teaching the word? How does that justify what you have done?
How?
To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey. After all, is it not the ministry that we are also doing? It's a long game, sir. It will come back and meet you. Your sins will find you out. That is the truth. So you better repent and make amends. And don't say, after all, we are doing ministry. That's not the point. You stole people's members. Don't say they all belong to Christ. You are a thief. You are a thief. You are a thief. Don't say, the key thing is that they needed to know the word. Are they the only people in the world to know the word? 200 more in Nigeria. The ones that are saved, you went to steal them. The ones that are saved, you left them alone. You say you want them to know the word. You are a thief. Hallelujah. If you have done it in this place, make amends. Repent. Don't go and... Paul said in Acts 20, 29, 30, he said they will lead disciples away after themselves. Grievous wolves, he calls them. Don't come and say nonsense here. What you have done is wrong. Hallelujah. Ask anybody I've ever assisted in pastoring. When I'm done there, I leave the city to do whatever I want to do far away. Or I use 2 years clear away. Nowhere. To the glory of God, not to any man. We have not built Saints Community by the power of God on anybody's work. Nobody. Nobody. We have not built on anybody's foundation. We have not done it. And may we never have a cause to do it. That's why you won't see me go and meet people's churches, church members, and say, I know there are 200 million people that need us. And many unchurched will go after them. Praise the Lord. Did you hear what I'm saying? To obey is better than what? Sacrifice. Don't cover it up by fasting and prayer. What you have done is wrong. So, God said to Solomon, go and look for somebody else. You know what he told Solomon? You know, God is God, he's never stranded. He said, I have somebody already. There was something Mark Hammond said one day. I read his book, Mark Hammond, one of Brother Hagin's sons. He said that God told him, you are the seventh person I'm sending to do this work. And if you don't do it, I'll send another person. That thing shook me. I don't know whether those kind of things shake you. It shook me. Ah! Sharp, sharp! Somebody else is there. As soon as Barnabas left, didn't you see Judas? What's his name? Silas. And then you saw Timothy. And the writer made it important. You see, it was the next chapter. Somebody else, because the work is going on. Hallelujah. The work is going on. Amen. It's going on. The person who founded this ministry is not here tonight. Praise the Lord. But the work is what? Going on. Hallelujah. So when he got to the house of Jesse, that's my point. That's my focus. And he thought it was Eliab. The man of God thought it was Eliab. He loved Eliab. Shows you that someone must be a very emotional person. He loved Saul. He now loved Eliab. So he saw Eliab. Say, the anointed of the Lord is going. Okay. Don't get emotional. Forget height. Forget grammar. Forget the way he prophesies. Forget the way he talks well. I didn't choose him. Simple. Simple. I did not choose him. I've rejected this one. And God help us as men of God to know who God has rejected. You see, I'm telling you something important. So you will not go and burn your energy. You won't burn your energy. You just burn your energy. Say, I've rejected this one. So I prepare someone. For you to know that the man of God was looking for, say, is there no other person? Because he was careful the next time. Say, there's one guy. He's one of my sons, but I don't think that's what you are looking for. He's somewhere. He says he's keeping sheep. Bring him. We'll keep standing. Now, stop writing. Be sincere. Like we normally say, tell the truth and let devil be ashamed. Before God will meet you, you know, you say that in primary school. If you are Eliab, how will you feel? If you are Eliab, firstborn, have you ever, if you are, how many firstborn are here? Firstborn. Not firstborn in Christ, so, real firstborn. Do you know, how do you, when your younger siblings, when they get something before you, don't lie. Feel like, not this, tell me, tell me, but like the bad ones, they now write down with you. Same center. But I said, go. That's your seat. Oh, you graduate 3 years before. Your sister now gets a job. High flying job. It's only God that knows why you understand? It has nothing to do with age. Amen. Amen. That's the way it is. You get it? So how would Eliab feel? He was not even one of the same. They had to bring him from a camp. The guy brought David. Was coming. Somebody that keeps sheep was not wearing suit. He's not coming. So, this is the Lord's anointed. First of all, look at the man of God. See? No wonder his head is bowed. David. David. Somebody told me years ago, I chose somebody as a what, BTC, we call them, Bible teaching, not Bitcoin. BTC. I chose Sister Bola before the garage there. Amen. Up Jesus. And that's it. I chose that too. Because he was the youngest. Everybody like you do very poor. Said, Pastor. To my face. In my house. Pastor. Bola. BTC. Pastor, that is too much. That you were made a worker in your church as a Muslim. The person talking was not born again. I met you, led you to Christ. You told me that you were never speaking in tongues. That you should just cram some luli, 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 luli. You know, some of us, when we now get close to people we honor from afar, we now start talking stupidly. I look at the girl, you, yeah, Pastor Bola, Bola. I say, where? She's not just going to be your coordinator. You are now going to be submitting reports to her. If you don't like it, look at my streets. There are churches. They are available. You know, today we have many churches. It's not the church at Jerusalem. Churches. You can go. But here, the person. Where is the person today? Is that Bola that is here? Also by the power of God. Do you get it? Can you imagine? How can you? So, imagine how Eliab must have felt. Somebody I brought into this church. Who are you? Sorry. Who are you? So, like somebody said myself, who is you? Who is you? That's very direct. I looks like many. Is you. Hallelujah.
And that was the chosen of the Lord.
So by the next chapter, this was object now. David now did the extreme, as they call him. He went, they took him to the palace and said, go and take food to your brothers and, in the prayer meeting. They are sleeping. So at the war front. So he got there. And he saw Goliath. So he said, you know, I said, who is this guy? So I can take him out. And so Eliab said, see, you're always proudful. Do you think the issue was Goliath? No. It was not Goliath. It was what happened the chapter before. Many of us cover up insecurities. Beef, you know, beef is a word that has come to the dictionary. Beef. Envy. Jealousy. We now begin to accuse people of being extreme, excess. I love what David did. And you have to learn from his reactions. Just like Jesus in John 12 and 14. He spoke back. Learn to speak back. Did you hear me? Because when you speak back, that evil thought will not rest on your mind. David said, is there not a curse? If I pray 2 days, is there not a curse? If I decide to give this much, is there not a curse? If we decide to do our church services every day, is there not a curse? If we do vigils every week, is there not a curse? Are we doing it in vain? No! Is there not a curse? If I decide to give my entire life to the work of the ministry, is there not a curse? Let me add one more thing. Never criticize people in full-time ministry. Never criticize people who are wholly dedicated to Christ. Don't do it though. You can explain the concept of people being involved in the secular work and ministry work without criticizing people's consecration. Did you hear what I'm saying? David said, is there not a curse? Pray for yourself. May the spirit of Eliab not rest upon you. Where you feel that because God has used somebody else, God is using somebody else in your church, in your nation, in your city, and then you are uncomfortable. May that demonic attitude not rest upon you. You look at the grace of God and you celebrate it. You look at the grace of God and you honor it. Come on, pray. See, you cannot be quiet here. Pray. Pastor chose Kemi, he did not choose Wale. Pastor chose Shegu, he did not choose, he chose Larry, he didn't choose Shegu. Pastor chose John, he didn't choose Janet. That should not be your concern. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. May the spirit of Eliab not rest upon you. Lift your voice and pray. Come on. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Competition. We're going to talk about that in this conference. Competition may not enter your heart. Pray. Look up. Let me say something. He's watching that conference, right? That's where I see my idea. Somebody told me, say, Pastor, I just feel in the music team, this was, I just feel maybe not giving me to sing. I say, do you think it's because you have a good voice? Or because you have grace? Your head has moved. Your head has moved. You see people, I'm visiting, you guys are how many people? All the, about 200 or more. About that. You are now leading. You don't think it's a privilege? It's a privilege, oh. It's a privilege, oh. It is not a right, oh. Did you hear me? Pray for yourself. Hey! Open your mouth and pray, oh. Hey! Hey! May God not reject me, oh. May He not remove me, oh. Pray. The spirit of Eliab. You are feeling rejected? He said, they are not appreciating my ministry. They are not appreciating my call. That is not what the problem is. You are envious. I
and you are jealous. That is what the problem is. Deal with it now. Every attitude of Eliab on my heart. Now look up. Let me ask you a question. That's why you must check your attitude. If you have succeeded with David, what will have happened? May you not be the person that will discourage people from serving God. May your bad attitude, may your fleshly attitude not disturb others. Imagine if he had stopped David. Imagine if he had, you know, discouraged him. It will be in your record forever that you hindered the move of God. Pray for yourself now. If you have a problem, deal with your problem. It's God that you're having a problem with. Don't face his men. Don't face his men. Don't face the men he's using. It's God that you should talk to. Hallelujah. Sit down. Now I want you to learn the responses. What was Jesus' response? Leave her alone. Learn to give the right response. Did you hear me? Now look at another response. So which means, what you should say to sort things is, leave me alone. Look at what he says. 1 Samuel 17. You must learn from this. 1 Samuel 17, turn there quickly please. David answered and said in verse 29, is there not a cause? Hallelujah. I was saying this to you at Believers Convention. When we're having Believers Convention, when we're having meetings now, whether we use it the campus or we also block the road. Have you not been blocking the road? Land. Have you not been blocking the road? You block the road. Then when we are passing Lagos Ibadan, if you say, what's all this now? You are doing convention and then they are blocking the road and you are, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What is really annoying you? Is it 1 million people that is annoying you on the road? Now you can see, the road, we have been punished now. And it's not church. Have you? And is there not a cause? They are repairing it. Hallelujah. So be careful. When you talk like that, you sow a wrong seed for your own ministry. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? Is there not a reason? There is a reason. Now what did David do? David turned away to another. I pray for you that you learn to look away from distractions. I pray for you, pastors. I'm praying for pastors now and everybody. I pray for you. That conversation that will distract you. That tweet that will distract you. That Facebook, useless Facebook post that will distract you. May your eyes discern it. May your heart see it. And may the fire of God never cease to burn in your prayer life. Pray for yourself now. No distractions. David turned away from him. Look up. It means there are some profiles you mustn't read again. There are some people you must not listen to anymore. It's not that you are fighting. You are only preserving the call of God upon your life. Do you hear what I'm talking about? David turned away. You must know how to turn away. You must know how to stop engaging such people. You must look away immediately. I learned to look away. A man that must follow God must be focused. You must be focused. David turned away. And turn to another person. God has given you your own company. Stay in your company. And when you are in the wrong one now, God will give you his own company in Jesus' name. Those that you can turn away from such people too, in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. I want you to pray. We're not done, no? I want you to specially pray now. Anything that has brought distraction in your life, that you are paying attention to now, that you should not pay attention to, let them be uprooted from your life and ministry right now. Any member of your church. See, look at me, those of you, you've known me for years, I say this thing. Any tree that my father has not planted in Saints Community Church will be uprooted. I've been praying for years, have you? Any tree that has not planted will be uprooted. Pray for yourself now. Anybody who is around you, who is in your ministry, who is in your church, who is acting like Eliab, your eyes will open and you will turn away from their counsel. You will turn away from their suggestions. We have work to do. We cannot be distracted. Anybody, male or female, ex-anointed, poor-anointed, whatever, it is done in Jesus' name. It is done in Jesus' name. Receive fresh discernment in Jesus' name. Receive fresh discernment in Jesus' name. There's one prayer my father used to pray for me. And I pray for people. It's in Yoruba, but I pray it in English too. He said, that is, the voice of God will not turn to the voice of a man in your ears. The voice of the devil will not become God's voice in your ears. Men's criticisms will not look like God is talking to you. Pray for yourself that way. Pray. When you hear God's word, you pray about it. Pray it into your life. Hallelujah. David turned away. Sit down. 2 Samuel 6. Notice where it is coming from. Look up. Jesus' criticisms came from his disciples. So, don't think I'm talking about something that a Muslim is going to say, oh. Who is talking to David? His brother. Right? Now, who chose the disciples? Jesus chose the disciples. Now look at one more. 2 Samuel 6. Now, his wife. His own wife. Michal. The story is very clear. We're bringing back the ark. 2 Samuel. I'm not even open there myself. 6. In chapter 5, David had become the king. So in chapter 6, we're bringing back the ark to Zion. And as they came with it in verse 14, the Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was getting the linen effort. So he was really dancing, shouting. You know, for a king, he was like, he just spoiled body. He was so uncoordinated. Dancing. And look at 16. As the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal. Now look at the way the writer put it. Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw the king leaping and dancing before the Lord. What did she do? Despise him in her heart. Listen carefully. It's not the dance that was the problem. Our father was the past king. He married her when the father was king. Let's face it. Who will not feel bad that my daddy is dead. My brother that should be the next king is not the king. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, she now found an opportunity for dishonor. An opportunity. The man was dancing before his Lord. He said, you, if you are going to complain to anybody, complain to the Lord that is receiving the dancing. Somewhere in her heart, she now despised him. Like, rubbish. Nonsense. Rubbish. Is that a man of God? Is that a king? Now follow. David kept dancing. Look at verse 20. I want us to read it together. Because it's one of my closing texts this morning. Verse 20. Let's take it together. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter. So why do you think the writer said the daughter of Saul? Yesterday's king. The daughter of Saul, go on, came out to meet David and said. The truth is that she said it publicly. She didn't say it privately. She came outside. And when dishonor enters people's hearts, it will start from the things they will think. They will start feeling uncomfortable in their room. Uncomfortable. Then they will not come publicly about it. She came out to meet him. Publicly. She didn't hide it. She didn't try to say it privately. She came open. Look at what she said. She said, let's read it together. How glorious was the king of Israel today? Sarcasm. Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. Are you not afraid? There are some things you should not say. Shamelessly. Somebody that God chose. Shamelessly. Said before people. She said it to mock him. Cynical views. Sarcastic. Derisory. Insult him.
Look at the way he's dancing.
And the writers of the scriptures were very careful to let us see that even when the dad was rejected, David never said anything wrong about him. Always follow the lessons. David never. Don't forget, this was a king who wanted to kill him. If there's anyone that should look at Saul, when David made an error, just what he did was, I didn't say anything wrong, he just cut his cloak. David said, I've done the wrong thing. Said, not the anointed of the Lord. Listen to me. Even if God has not used somebody again, is it in your mouth? Will you hear it? Guard your mouth. Guard your heart. Don't say stupid things. Did you hear me? So, David honored the father. Even though God rejected the father, she dishonored David. Even though God chose David. Take that lesson home. He said, so it wasn't the dancing that was the case. There was nothing wrong. Is it your body? It's not your body now. Why is that your problem? Do you get it? That's not your problem. That is not the problem. Despise in her heart. Now don't forget, David responded. Let us read his response. Verse 21. Let's go. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me, before your father. Before your father. Do you hear it? And before all his house. To appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than this. I will be base in my own sight. And the many of the servants which you have spoken of them, shall I be in honor. Hear me. If some people choose to dishonor you, God will raise other people that will honor you. Forget it. I learned lessons in life a lot. One day I was in my faculty then. I was in faculty of law. I don't graduate. So there was this, I use this illustration a lot. There was this small conversation between a friend of mine, is my lawyer now, and another classmate of ours. So, I don't know what the joke was about. So the lady got angry and took his shoes and threw it away. And then he said something. He said, just watch. Somebody more respectable than you will bring that shoe. I ignored that.
And the most brilliant person. You know, everybody has the most brilliant in their faculty. This one is very brilliant. That you won't check the result. You check your own and others. The most brilliant person in our class. Somebody that, as a classmate, even as a man of God, I almost say, very brilliant. She was coming. He said, please let me bring the shoe. And she brought it. She said, you know, I told you, somebody better than you will do it. And I told myself, if we choose to dishonor people, people that are better than us will honor them. I've learned that. Don't think your opinion is that important. Did you hear me? He said, an honor will come if it doesn't come from you. Michal had no child until the day of her death. So I say, why did that happen? I don't know. Just don't do it. Amen? Who killed Ananias and Sapphira? I don't know. Just don't lie. Hallelujah. Don't go into, why are you trying to know whether it is God or the devil? Are you planning to despise somebody? You know, some things are not necessary. Are you planning to dishonor somebody? Why do you want to know who did it? You want to know the consequence of your actions? You better don't do it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Paul says, let he that thinketh is stand, take heed, lest he falls. Those things were written as examples unto us, upon whom the hands of the world will come. Now pray for yourself. That spirit should not enter your heart. Where you begin to despise what people are doing for the Lord, because it was not done to you or for your father or to your pastor. See, because it was not done to your pastor does not mean it's wrong. Right? Pray. Pray. She became barren. The Bible wrote it for a purpose. Don't join stupid conversations. Don't join silly conversations. Don't engage in stupid things. Amen. See that we begin to close here. Pray for me, we close. So, look at two things. Expect dishonor to respond to your service. Expect jealousy and envy to respond to your commitment to the Lord. Expect Satan to use people to speak down on your sacrifice for God. But you know what? Always know the response. Jesus said, don't trouble her. You too can say, don't trouble me, leave me alone. Hallelujah. Leave me alone. I tell people, if you don't like it here, go elsewhere now. If you don't like this one, go elsewhere. There are options. You can't come here and dishonor what we respect. You can't do it. I would allow you. You notice that at each juncture, Jesus, hear me, David, none of them allowed that dishonor. They responded immediately. Stop it! Don't do that here. Don't repeat that statement here. Please don't say it again. Please don't repeat that statement here. I told the guy, I was trying to wrestle with someone I respect. I said, because I like you, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to block you. Right? I'm going to block you. And I'm going to remove your number from my phone contact. He said, is that man worship? I said, no, it's more than that. It's idol worship. I won't allow you to talk to me again. Do you know who saved me in life? Do you know how I got here? Do you know how I would have been wrecked if not for that person? Did you even know me? Do you know what I would have become? Where were you when we were going astray? Do you know how many of my colleagues are no longer in ministry? Some are even dead. You have the guts to talk to me about people that saved me? You must be an idiot. Never! I say, if you see my name in the book of life, know that we are not both in the same book. Don't ever! Because God
will always use me.
God will always use me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Learn to do what Jesus said. Keep quiet. Don't trouble me. Face your life. Lord, this morning, we dedicate our hearts to refuse wrong counsels, wrong opinions. Listen, there's nothing called excess teaching of the word. Nothing called excess prayer. Nothing called excess study. Excess honor. Excess giving. Excess rejoicing in the spirit. Excess move of God. We have not had enough. We want more. How many of you want more? You want more. More times of prayer. More times of study. You want to honor more. You want to give more. You want to be a better example. You want a more solid local church. You want more churches. You want more. Begin to open your mouth and pray. Lord, I want more. I will do more. I will do more. I will give more. I will honor more. I will rejoice more. I will flow with the Spirit more. I will fast more. I will do more vigils. I will do more. I will do more. I will do more. I have learned to say no to discouraging thoughts. I've learned to turn away. I've learned to say, trouble me not. Pray. I want you to pray more into your life. Everything you are doing today, you are going to do more. 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 Pray. Look up before we continue. Do you know why we are going to stop praying now? So that we can rest and continue tomorrow. It's not because we don't want to do more. Do you know why you have not given more than you have given? Because when you now get more, you will give again. Hallelujah. Do you know why you won't do the video next tomorrow? Because the day after you do it again. So we are not stopping. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? I prophesy over your life in the name of Jesus. That in 50 years time, what you are doing today is what you are still going to be doing. And you are going to do more. If you are giving 1,000, in years to come you will give millions. You will give billions. You will give and 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 give. If you are honoring your man of God, you will honor and 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 honor. If you are studying God's word, there will never be a time you will be bored in the name of Jesus. You will study and 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 study. If you listen to God's word, there will never be a time you will leave it alone. You will listen. In the name of Jesus. If you flow with the Spirit, you will flow. For the rest of your life. In the name of Jesus. Oh yeah, pray. There is more. There is more. Play the song for me. More and more of you. More and more. 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 More. Every spirit of satisfaction lives your life. More souls. More souls. More meetings. More revivals. More healings. More miracles. More miracles. More honor. More loyalty. More commitment. More submission. More consecration. More prayer. I just want more and more, more of what you do. I just want more and more. Stand to your feet, lift your hands. More of what you say. I just want more and more, more of the nations of the earth. And all the rain.